Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Please be seated. Venerable sisters and dear parishioners, we happen to have today the feast of a saint who very zealously promoted devotion to the hearts of Jesus and Mary. He was a French priest, and he lived in the 17th century. His name was Saint John Eudes, and he actually founded one or two religious congregations. I forget which exactly. So he became a saint by his holy manner of life. He was considered to be one of the great preachers and missionaries in France. He predated St. Louis Marie de Montfort, probably by about 50 or 60 years. But I found it providential that his feast occurs today because, as we well know, we are in the month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I would just like to share some thoughts from his writings on Mary's heart. And it wasn't quite the same approach that St. Margaret Mary used in promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That was revelations given to her. I'm not aware that St. John Eudes had revelations, but obviously we're talking about the same Sacred Hearts. It's just somewhat of a different angle of approach, a somewhat different emphasis, but obviously to lead us to a greater holiness by a greater love of the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. Also, it's not quite the same emphasis description, you might say, as was promoted at Fatima, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but again, we're talking about the same heart. During the month of June, we reflect very much upon devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we realize, or try to realize more and more, how the Sacred Heart of Jesus is afflicted by our sins. We see so often a crown, the Sacred Heart of Jesus surrounded by thorns. We see a flame of fire above it to show how our Lord's heart is on fire for love for sinful mankind. And of course, we see that gash, that wound, and that's straight out of Holy Scripture. After our Lord died, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance just to make sure that he was dead. And St. John tells us that came what must have been the last drops of blood and water in his heart. And we adore our Lord's Sacred Heart because his entire person is adorable. But it's also the symbolism there. We know that the heart symbolizes in a very special way somebody. We talk about this. Speak from the heart. Tell me what's in your heart. What's in your heart of hearts? Well, we say sometimes, I'm going to speak to you from my heart. What I really feel, what I'm really thinking. So the heart is a most powerful symbol. What would Valentine's Day be without hearts? It's that powerful, that important a symbolism. So having said all of that about our Lord, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we now talk about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And how is her heart represented? huge sword transfixes it. In some religious representations or artistic representations, sometimes we see seven swords in Our Lady's heart, representing her seven major sorrows. And we can suffer in our heart in such a way that the rest of the body doesn't suffer. And we know, the saints tell us, that Our Lady's heart, that Our Lady suffered in her heart everything that Jesus was suffering in body and soul. True, she was not literally scourged, crowned with thorns, crucified. But in seeing all of that happen to her most beloved divine child, Our Lady was suffering in her heart what Jesus was suffering in his soul and body. We sometimes see flowers around Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. It's the feminine touch, flowers. An adornment of womanhood. And often we see a flame above Our Lady's heart. It can be represented as such, and why not? Because after the heart of Jesus, what other human heart loved God and man as much as did the heart of Mary? It's true that this devotion was not spoken as such for most of the history of the church. But in God's plan, certain devotions come more to the forefront as the history of the church goes on. And in the last couple hundred years, we have seen a greater focus, a greater emphasis on the heart of Mary. We see the establishment of her feasts. There was the Feast of the Most Pure Heart of Mary, although not observed everywhere in the church. But in our times especially, we have the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that was established by Pope Pius XII. And it is he who consecrated the world to Mary's Immaculate Heart. I don't think this was done in the exact format that Our Lady wished it to be done at Fatima, but it was a consecration, and it came 70 years ago during one of the darkest times in history. We were in the throes of World War II, 1942. But let's backtrack to Fatima, because that is where the greatest impetus was given, I believe, because it is such a key part of the Fatima message. Our Lady told the children, after they saw that horrible vision of hell and all those souls falling in there, God wants to save these sinners. And the way to do it, and I'm paraphrasing here, is to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In other words, God was telling us in 1917... that men need to know that the heart of their mother is loving them, is suffering for them, is bleeding for them, is throbbing for them, and she's going to do everything she can to try to help save as many souls from hell as possible. And what, in a sense, could be more sweet than that? And we know the pull that a mother has on her children. You can take the mightiest, strongest man, some of the roughest men of history, and their mother tells them, son, you act like this now. And that huge guy says, all right, mother. The power that a mother has over her children. It was revealed to Sister Lucia also. Our Lady appeared to her, as we see depicted in this Fatima statue here in front of the pulpit. with her heart encircled by thorns. And she conveyed to Sister Lucia that those thorns are our sins. And she wants us to understand, even though she can't be suffering now in heaven, she did suffer for all the sins that would ever be committed. So it is true to say that the less sin there is now, the less Our Lady would have suffered 2,000 years ago when she was on this earth. And so she's giving us to understand what our sins have cost us. Or I should say cost her. You know, one of the things I've seen too many times is how children have made their mothers suffer. How their mothers' hearts were broken by things that their children have done. Heartbreak is a real thing. It's not a physical thing, but it is a most real suffering. And this is what happens by our sins. We need to understand. It's a connection we need to make. My sins, what they've done to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, what they have done to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so there's that idea of reparation, of consoling the Sacred Heart of Jesus, consoling the Immaculate Heart of Mary. How do we do that? Well, let's fulfill their requests. That's what they've already told us what consoles them. Amendment of life. Stop sinning. Our sins press the thorns in. So overcoming sin, offering sacrifices, offering up the penance of daily duty, offering up special acts of consecration and reparation, such as we will do this Wednesday on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary before, or rather after Mass. We will console our mother's heart. Our good works, our prayers, the sacrifice it takes to be a faithful Catholic, this is what consoles our mother's heart. I've heard also many a mother say about a son or daughter that was a consolation to her heart. Of course, we know mothers, they always love all their children. But some of them, by their living up to their Catholic duties and in being good examples, they especially console their parents' hearts, the mother's heart. So this is what this month is all about, to help us understand. But you know what? I got away from St. John Eudes. Let me try to wrap up here as quickly as I can here. Just read some of his inspiring words about the bond between the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. Devotion to the Most Blessed Virgin, Mother of God, is so pleasing to her Son and is so dear and commendable to all true Christians that it is not necessary to recommend it to those who desire to lead a Christian life. I shall only tell you that you must never separate what God has so perfectly united. So closely are Jesus and Mary bound up with each other that whoever beholds Jesus sees Mary. Whoever loves Jesus loves Mary. Whoever has devotion to Jesus has devotion to Mary. Jesus and Mary are the two first foundations of the Christian religion, the two living springs of all our blessings, the two centers of all our devotion, and the two objectives you should keep in view in all your acts and works. A man is no true Christian if he has no devotion to the Mother of Jesus Christ and of all Christians. St. Anselm and St. Bonaventure assure us that it is impossible for persons who are not loved by the Mother of Christ to have any part with him. Conversely, it is impossible for anyone to perish upon whom she looks with favor. he goes on and on, obviously, about this, that bond. But that's the image he gives us today as we celebrate his feast and thank God for his sanctity. Let us think of those two hearts, one divine, one human. Well, they're both human, the divine and human heart of the Sacred Heart, and also the human heart, the perfect heart, the most pure heart, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let us keep them before our eyes today in a special way. That's what St. John tried to promote, these two hearts beating, who suffered so much for our salvation. Let us honor these hearts. Let's keep them before our eyes. Let us console them by the things that they have already told us. Console them. Let us honor them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.